Okay, started the audio, and now I'm going to start the video, and that's all going. Okay, that's good enough. There you go. All right, we are One of Messiah Congregation. Go right ahead. I guess only the people that come here see how we do that. The horn, and we got that's very good. Anyway, we are One of Messiah Congregation, Kahal Chab Mashiach, a little piece of the Israel of God, Adat Yisrael. And happy last Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and happy first Sabbath that we're counting of the seven Sabbaths, and also Shabbat Shalom, all on one day. How about that? Anyway, let's ask God to bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, Creator of all things, we pray you'll bless and anoint this day. Always cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. Bless and anoint this day, Lord and God. Bless the message. Have ears open spiritually, and I hope it will bless everyone's heart and encourage everyone. Thank God for another day, a beautiful day here in Tennessee. And we thank God for protection, a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. Heal us, strengthen us, lead, guide, and direct us. And I thank God for the blood of the Messiah today and for the real Passover, which is Yeshua, and for the unleavened bread that we're doing. Thank God. We take sin out of our lives. And we praise you and we thank you in Yeshua's name, Father. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. And I'm happy to be here today on April 11th, 2015. Time is passing by. And there's what April means. You guys all know that, right? Yeah. April, yeah. Aphrodite. Yeah. Don't believe it. However, we bring into focus God's calendar. We're in Nisan 21, and that's where you find Nisan right there in Esther 3:7. And we had our spring, and it definitely looks like it's spring. Everything's blooming and everything's happening. Huh?
Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung, that's right. And it's the Hot Aviv, the barley, and I believe you have some barley unleavened breads? Good. And it's the newness of the barley, so very good. Zach's hungry already. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics and subjects that maybe you're not familiar with and you never heard in other churches. I try to bring these into focus. Got a call this week. I'll be doing a radio broadcast, I think, this coming week. I'll have to look on my calendar, but somebody invited me to be on the radio to talk about the Hebrew roots, which is really great. Praise the Lord. So may God open more doors like that, because I can tell it's God when they come out of nowhere. You know, I didn't incite them or instigate them or anything. They just sort of... And we had people call the last couple of days, which is really nice, and I hope they contact us again. Well, all my studies are still running back there. Everyone forgets the server is still going. And you could read them, you could hear them, you could watch them, you could download them. It's still happening. And let's see here. We're on Pow Talk right now. I believe we're not in a private room. We're just in a regular room. I'm streaming live right now. We figured out how to do that, waving to everyone on the camera. There's the URL you got to put in. And you can always schedule me in to come and see you if you have a congregation or a group, and there's a link there that tells you what to do. So we are counting Sabbaths, not Omers. An Omer is a sheaf of barley, an Omer. It's a dry a measure, 1/10 ephah, about 2 liters. And so I still can't figure out why people are counting the Omer, because I don't think anyone has a sheaf of barley. But it says right here in Leviticus 23, you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, which we are, from the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. You're counting 7 Sabbaths. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto Jehovah. So we know what 50 days later is, right, from the resurrection, is what? Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. 7 Sabbaths from first fruits plus 1 day or 50 days later is going to be May 24th, 2015. So have your calendars marked, because we have two Sabbaths in a row that week. Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. Today's subject is, obviously, the last Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's read in Exodus 12. Okay? 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, which we have accomplished that. Even the first day shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Pretty drastic. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, which we did that. That was the first Sabbath. And in the seventh day, which is today, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done. So we got to make sure we get our nutrients today and bless the Lord. There's a time to eat and a time not to eat, time to fast. Not today. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. So it's forever, you know. In the first month and in the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread, which we did, until the 1 and 21st day. And today is the 21st day of Nisan, right? 21st day at even. So until tonight, we'll be eating unleavened bread. And of course, I told my wife, well, she'd make it more often. 7 days, there's no leaven found in our houses. Most of the time, I don't think we even have leaven in our houses. Maybe once in a while, I'll buy a pretzel or something. But whosoever eats that which is leaven, even the soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be a stranger or one born in the land. So today is just a beautiful day, and it's the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We don't eat anything anything leavened, right? And there's nothing, in all habitations, there's nothing, everything shall be unleavened, right? So now we're moving up the Torah. I'm in Exodus 34. I just wanted to read all these verses to you. Today's not going to be a long study, because we usually have a lot of reading today, and singing, and eating, and rejoicing before the Lord. Huh?
Singing and eating and reading and walking and eating and
talking and eating and Zach, let me make Zach happy. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, 7 days. This is also recorded in Exodus 34. I just want to show you all the places unleavened bread is recorded in the Bible. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And this is all in the month of Ha'aviv. And this is when you came out of Egypt. And I was talking to Zach this morning. We were talking about, you know, it's really amazing. That's why God wants you to remember that with a mighty hand, he brought the children of Israel out of this amazing empire called Egypt. And it was the most magnificent empire at the time, and gigantic. And God was able to just easily bring out the children of Israel out of there. Just imagine two guys walking up to Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." God said, "Let my people go." That's like walking up to China or Russia saying, "Okay, everybody, give up, and we're here." And, you know, just looking at two people, and you're thinking, like, who in the world? These guys. But anyway, it is with a mighty hand God brought out the children of Israel. Mighty hand. And it all starts, most of the time we read Leviticus 23, you know, even though in Exodus 34 and even before Leviticus, it talks about the unleavened bread. But Leviticus says, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, children of Jacob, say unto them concerning the feasts of Jehovah, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." And, you know, I know amongst us we've read this verse so many times, but there's still most people today never heard of God has feasts. And they have no idea. And what's a holy convocation? They always think, what's that? You know, it's a mikra kodesh. It's a public meeting, a sacred assembly. That's why we're here. And that's why we're here on the Sabbath, too. I don't even think some people do the Sabbath right. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, the Shabbat Shabbaton. It's a holy convocation. You should do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Jehovah in all your dwellings. So everywhere you dwell, or at the dwelling at that time, you have to be able to keep the Sabbath. You can't. That's why a lot of people are no longer with us. They couldn't manage that. They couldn't manage having their whole house holy on the Sabbath, you know. These are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations ye shall proclaim in their seasons. We've been doing this so long now, to us it's just like second nature. It's just like normal. 14th day of the first month, we ate the Jehovah's Passover. 15th day of the month, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Jehovah, is the 15th, and we ate leavened bread for 7 days. This is written, I think, the second time. The first day shall be a holy convocation. You should do no civil work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah 7 days. You know, I was telling my wife, it seems like we should be doing something else for 7 days besides eating unleavened bread. And I still can't figure out, because they did an offering made by fire unto Jehovah 7 days. And then in the seventh day, they had the holy convocation and they did no work. I always wondered, man, should we be doing something else? You know? I mean, we're all conscious that it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but I mean, it seems like they did offerings made by fire 7 days. I don't know. Something's missing, I feel. But anyway, maybe God will show us. And Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, When you come into the land which I give unto you, shall reap the harvest thereof. Then ye shall bring a sheaf. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Right? And ye shall wave the sheaf before Jehovah to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf of the a lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Jehovah. And the meat offerings thereof shall be two ten deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Jehovah for a sweet savor. The drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor a green ear until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It's statute. This is one of the statutes. It's a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So all that was just a statute. And it just seems like we should be doing more, doesn't it? Or something's, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what else we could do. We don't have Levites. We don't have priests. We don't do offerings made by fire. It says, and this is what we are doing this part. We're going to count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. It says, even unto tomorrow after the 7th Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall bring a new meat offering unto Jehovah. So we're definitely doing that. It's almost like our 7-week march to Mount Sinai, when the commandments were given in Sivan, and when the Holy Ghost is given in the book of Acts. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. Somehow we always forget to do that, huh? Somebody's got to make that. 2 loaves with leaven. They're the first fruits unto Jehovah. So that's what we do. And you shall offer offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, 2 rams, they shall be for a burnt offering unto Jehovah, with the meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto Jehovah. So every time I read all this, I always think, gosh, I always feel like, God, am I doing missing something? Or is there something I should be doing more? Something. They're doing all these offerings and sacrifices and all this. Notice it doesn't say sacrifice, it says offerings a lot, doesn't it? Offering, yeah, offerings. Yeah. Then, it says, then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of a peace offerings. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Jehovah. With the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to Jehovah for the priests. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it's a holy convocation unto Jehovah. You shall do no work therein. It shall be a statute. This is the statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Yeah. Notice how it says it's all the generations. Yeah. I think it's Dorotechem. Dorotechem. All the generations. And ye shall reap the harvest of your land. Thou shalt make thou shalt not make clean the riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest, but thou shalt leave them for the poor and to the stranger. I am Jehovah your God. You know, we just got on our property, we're going to plant a apple tree and a pear tree and a peach tree. We found that we only need one of each to for them to... Apple we need two, but the other ones we need one of each. And yeah, I didn't get there yet. Give me a chance. We also got a fig tree that's going to... It says it's going to grow to 15 feet high and big, full of figs. So I was thinking, God, we're going to have to start thinking about all this stuff, giving our first fruits unto God. Anyway, yeah, we're going to bring some fruit trees out there. Moving up to Torah, now we're in Numbers 28, just to show you that how everyone remembers to do this. Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, command them, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire for a sweet savor unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due seasons. So he wanted this all to be done at the correct time. It says, in the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of Jehovah. So this is constantly rehearsed. You know, this is like many years apart. 15th day of the month is the feast. 7 days, unleavened bread is eaten. First day, there it is again. So people that, sometimes, you know, this week, this year, our holy convocations are falling right on our Sabbaths. But sometimes they're not. Sometimes they fall the day before or, you know, something like that. And sometimes we have two Sabbaths in a row, but we didn't have that this year. It says, but you shall, no manner of work, of course. We don't do any work. You shall offer an offering made by fire for a burnt offering unto Jehovah. Two young bullocks, one ram, 7 lambs of the first year, they shall be unto you without blemish. These people definitely had to have a lot of animals, livestock, you know, and they had to have a lot of firstborns with no blemish. Amazing. And their meat offering shall be of fine flour mingled with oil. I always wonder what that tastes like, fine flour mingled with oil. 3 tenth deals shall you offer for a bullock, 2 tenth deals for a ram. 7 tenth deals shalt thou offer for every lamb throughout the 7 lambs. And 1 goat for the sin offering to make an atonement for you. So they actually did this all week. They did offerings and sacrifices and made atonement all week. And, you know, it's so different than it is today, because they were just all together in one big community. And, you know, everybody was just more consciously aware of what they were doing besides us than we do, because we all don't live around the same community, but we're here on the Sabbaths, you know. And you shall offer, besides the burnt offering in the morning, which is for a continual burnt offering, which we don't do, after the manner ye shall offer daily throughout the 7 days. This is every day. The meat of the sacrifice made by fire, sweet savor unto Jehovah, it shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. It's amazing. It's amazing what they had to do. And of course, it all has a spiritual significance. And on the 7th day, you shall have a holy convocation. Here we are, God. Show us what we're missing. We're not, no work. So now we're moving to 30 days later, after wandering in the wilderness. And now we're in Deuteronomy, which is a recapitulation of the Torah. And says right there, chapter 16, observe the month of Ha'aviv. We are observing it, too. I love observing it. Everything's blooming and everything's turning green, and God really loves green. I was noticing the different many shades of green, and all the purple trees, even though they call them red buds, they look purple to me. They look really purple today, so I'm going to call them purple buds. Anyway, so we are observing. We're observing the month of Ha'aviv, and we kept the Passover, because in the month of Aviv, this is the month that many years ago that God, Jehovah, brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt by night. It's a night much to be remembered, much talked about. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto Jehovah thy God of the flock of the herd in the place which Jehovah shall choose to place his name there. And obviously they did it exactly correctly, because God had a definite way of doing it. Of course, the same thing. Here it is, 30 years later, Moses is still telling them the same message. No leavened bread is supposed to be with you. 7 days, supposed to eat unleavened bread. I wonder how they did that in the wilderness. I wonder how they baked bread in the wilderness. Huh? Over a fire. Yeah, must have. See, these ladies all know. Supposed to eat unleavened bread with their wit. Even the now it's supposed to be the bread of affliction. Now I was telling Zach this morning, you know, of course the way we do it today, you know, it's not supposed to be a gourmet dinner with all kind of sauces and gravies and all. It's supposed to be just bitter herbs, piece of roasted lamb, and unleavened bread. It's supposed to be the bread of affliction. But nowadays we're all eating it like it's some dinner, you know. But you know. Sometimes I feel it should be a little barer. Yeah, well, I don't know. Putting salad dressing on the bitter herbs, I don't know. Sometimes it's supposed to be like remembering affliction, the children of Israel. It's not a party. That's what some people turn the Passover into a party, you know. We didn't. It says, "For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste." It says that thou mayest remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, but all the days of your life. And too bad they didn't remember that, you know. Of course, we should remember and be thankful that God brought us out of our exodus, out of our last lives of sin. And Pharaoh is symbolic of the devil, and we got loosed from his bonds, you know. And we don't have to be like regular people, you know. We are really born again. We are new creatures. It's really nice to know that. We have no leavened bread seen in all the coasts. This is in all the coasts 7 days. Neither shall there anything of the flesh which you sacrificed the first day at even remain all night unto the morning. With us, our roasted lamb went quick. Because we roasted it and everyone really enjoyed it, right? And Zach made sure there was not a speck left. Not supposed to sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which Jehovah thy God gives you. That we don't do. It says, but unto the place which Jehovah thy God had chosen to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. So this is all something that was given directly to the children of Israel at this time. We're doing it in memorial, remember. And thou shalt roast and eat it, that's the lamb, in the place which Jehovah thy God shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go unto thy tents. Turn in the morning and go into thy tents, which we did, right? Actually, we turned in the morning and the night and went into our tents. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, right? Oh, and on the seventh day is a solemn assembly today. Today's a solemn assembly, huh? To Jehovah thy God, thou shalt do no work therein. Yeah, we're not going out and get a paycheck or digging holes today, or I'm not going digging ditches. Yeah, we're not going to work anywhere today. So anyway, that was the Feast of Unleavened Passover, Unleavened Bread, all the way through the Torah. And I left a few out there, but you may not know, but there's the Feast of Unleavened Bread observed in the Gospels and letters, too. It's constantly talked about, and I only wrote down a few verses. Here's Matthew 26. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yeshua, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare to eat the Passover?" They called the whole thing the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because on the Passover and Unleavened Bread, the feast is of the feast is the unleavened bread is the feast of the Passover. So that's when you eat it. That's what they called it there. But there it is right there. So you don't see many churches doing that today, this week, do you? They did what? Egg hunts? They did Easter egg hunts. Talk about the devil putting people in a delusion. Here's Mark. That was the first one was Matthew. Let's call up another witness, Mark. It says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. There it is. And the chief priests. So you got to remember, from Deuteronomy, like a couple of thousand years later, This is like in the Gospels, right? 4,000 years there, and it's just thousands of years apart, and they're still doing it. Except for today. Except for today. Most people are not doing it. Feast of Unleavened Bread. The chief priest and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And the first day of Unleavened Bread, when they killed the Passover, the disciples said unto him, "Where wilt thou we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" So the Passover and Unleavened Bread was just a combination of just a whole feast. And here's Luke 22. Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh. Then came the days of Unleavened Bread. Luke 22, 1 and 7. So you wonder, we went to church, many churches in our lives, different churches, different religions. I don't remember anybody doing this. Do you?
None of the regular churches.
And here's you might say, well, that's before the resurrection. Well, here's after the resurrection. Here's the Feast of Unleavened Bread also was observed in the book of Acts. It says, because he knew that it would please the Jews, he proceeded to take Peter also. This is Herod. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So they were even doing the Feast of Unleavened Bread there, after the resurrection. Here's Acts 20. Paul sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. So you could see Apostle Paul, Shaul, Saul, you know, they did the feasts, and they had the temple there. It was probably so different. It must have been so rejoiceful to have like just so many people there doing it, and it's a real feast, and it must have had that real feeling of a feast. You know, nowadays we're just so scattered, one here, two there, three there, and you know, we try to do it with joy and happiness, but of course, when you have a great number of people just all rejoicing and singing and praising God, and you know, Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, "Purge out therefore the old leaven," which we did, that we may be a new lump. We want to be new lumps, as you are unleavened. We're all unleavened, all without sin, for Messiah, Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. And Paul tells them, which I don't see why today they don't listen to Paul. He says, let's keep the feast of unleavened bread, right? Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And that's a spiritual understanding of why we're doing it. It's not just eating a bunch of bread, okay? It's supposed to be getting out sin and bringing in sincerity and truth in our life, you know? That's important. So remember, this is my study isn't long today. It's all about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the last Sabbath, and it's all about they did it all through the Torah, and they all did it through the times of Messiah, and they all did it after Messiah, and they probably did it up to, I guess, when all the apostles finally were murdered. You know, they killed everybody just about, and I guess it's very sad that I was telling Zach this morning. I said I tried one time, because of the internet, I tried to look in the past through histories of people that kept the Sabbath and Torah keepers, and I couldn't find anyone. You can't find any histories or records of anyone doing this. That's why I always recommend you keep a record in your lifetime. In the event you expire, there's something that says, hey, we kept the Passover. I keep an external drive. If my server blows up, I have an external drive hoping that someone will find it and say, oh, they kept the Passover. What is that? And they look it up. There has to be some records kept. Otherwise, it could be forgotten through time. Because if no one speaks about it, then you forget. No one discusses it. It's almost like the Satan hushed everything, you know, silenced everything. And even I couldn't find anyone through history. There's no records. Isn't that terrible? In other words, we could find histories of all the, regular secular people, of all their inventions, all their discoveries, all their amazing. But you can't find anyone that did anything that was Torah observant. I can't. Yeah, unless they must have hid it, or must have been. But nowadays, with the advent of the internet, you know, we try to chronicle some things on Facebook and YouTube, but that's just it turned into just nothing. There was no advantage, because everyone's mind is somewhere else. You know, I was telling Zach again that it's sad that, you know, your parents are supposed to be teaching the children. The children are supposed to be asking, why are we doing this service? Why are we even doing this? But that never took place in none of our lives because it's been so lost. We're a new generation at this time, believe it or not, that's doing it. And there's a lot of people doing it now, I guess, somewhere, in some version. I guess whether in pretense or truth, the whole thing is being preached. You know, whether they do it in pretense or truth or however they do it, there is some records now, right? But anyway, we are counting the Sabbaths, not Omers. Remember, next Sabbath will be the second Sabbath of the seven we are told to count. So picture yourself marching towards Mount Sinai, and, you know, you got to make yourself ready to meet the God that's going to give you the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai in the third month called Sivan. But we'll be doing that and acknowledging that in memorial, and also acknowledging in memorial also the Pentecost, the 50 days, the Feast of Weeks, in chapter 2 of Acts, when all the Jews came there. Remember that? A lot of Christians don't even know that. It was all Jews from every nation. You know, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, Mesopotamia, you know, Cappadocia, and all these different places they came from. And they were all Jews coming to the temple at that time, and they keep the feast. You know, what's interesting about the Bible is, and like we have, of course, the Gospels and letters and all that. I always think about how the temple probably wasn't destroyed yet, because no one ever wrote about it. So it must have been destroyed after everything was already written, because there's no writings of, and in 70 AD, Titus came in and destroyed the temple. So all the writings are way before 70 AD, and it's sad. Isn't that terrible? There's no biblical writings of that the temple was destroyed and Titus did it and all this kind of stuff, because everybody that, or our kin, was wiped out or hiding or dispersed or whatever. But we're here today. I'm happy we have this thing called freedom of religion so far, and we could still profess these feasts of God and keep a record, which is very important to me. It's very important to keep a record of who you are, what you believed, and what you professed. You know, it's very important. I mean, because if you win an award, that will be forgotten in a couple of years. But I mean, if you're a Torah observant person, somebody catches a hold of your record and they say, oh, these people kept the Sabbath, or these people kept the Torah, and they kept the feasts. What's that? And they'll look, who knows, they might look it up. If the Lord tarries and it gets covered under rocks and somebody does some excavation and or give it to your grandchildren. Make sure your grandchildren know all about this, that, yeah, my grandmother kept the Sabbath. My grandparents, that's why it's really good to have children, because all the enemies are having children. They're multiplying mightily out there. So the people of God should multiply too. And also, I mean, not us. I mean, I'm talking about young people, and have children. So anyway, Shabbat Shalom, and I hope you got something out of this study. And I try to bring across some meaningful thoughts just to put in your mind. May God bless the rest of the Sabbath. May God bless you. And we will break bread with brothers and sisters in a few minutes. And I thank God, Father, that we understand these matters. And if we're missing anything during the week, let us know, Father. We want to do everything to the fullest. Bring more brothers and sisters to us. Open more doors. I pray, open the door for the youth, Lord and God, so I could get out there again and try my best again. You know, I'm ready anytime. And that's what I really want to do, besides anything else. Bless and anoint the rest of this day, and bless the food, the singing, and bring us back together one of these days soon to worship you in spirit and truth. And I thank God for our brothers and sisters throughout the world. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. May God be with you. And I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom to everyone out there. Bye. And I'm going to say goodbye to everyone.